My text this morning is from John chapter 21, verses 18 and 19. The title of the sermon is taken from something that Jesus says to Peter, "But when you are old." John chapter 21, verse 18. "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." It was an autumn day very similar to this one when I had been asked to preach a series of meetings in the interest of revival at a church in rural Kentucky. I'd arrived early that evening and had intended to go into the pastor's office and to spend a little time gathering my thoughts. As I opened the door, there was a white-haired, white-bearded gentleman who was sitting there at the desk. "Oh," I said, "I didn't know anyone was in here." "Oh, do you need me to leave?" "No, it's quite all right." I said, "It's been a beautiful day, hasn't it?" "Oh, so beautiful." I said, "It reminds me of that line from one of Shakespeare's sonnets when he says, 'When I consider that all things living hold in perfection but a little moment.'" It's a striking line, isn't it? There is a day in the autumn when the leaves are at their absolute peak. There is that moment when that maple tree is as beautiful as it's going to get, and in the next moment it's going to begin to decline. When I said that to the old man, his face wrinkled up and he began to cry, and he said, "Oh, that's so beautiful." I didn't know the old man, but I asked the pastor about him. He said he had at one time been a school teacher in a faraway place, and one night he had been attacked by some people who wanted to rob him, and they hit him on the head, and he was never quite right after that. So he never was able to go back to teaching. He had just returned to the community, lived in the house that he grew up in, lived with his mother until she died, and now he was an old man living there. In the writings of Aristotle, in his book on rhetoric, he explores the question, when does a man reach his peak physically? And I think he gives a very insightful answer. He says it's 10 years after he can run his fastest sprint. And I think, well, that's probably true. For most of us, we are run our fastest sprint when we're about 17 or 18, and for the next 10 years, pretty strong and healthy, and if you maintain good health by the time you're 27 or 28, then you've reached full manhood and are strong and still have some of the vibrancy of youth, but things start to decay after that. I remember when I was pastoring a church in southern Illinois, there was a young man in the church who was a high jumper, and I had been a high jumper when I was in high school and college, and I said, "Well, I'll come to the track and show you a few things." And so I went to the track, and we set the bar at an embarrassingly low height. And I said, "Now here's how you do it." And I went and ran and tried to jump over the thing and miserably failed. You see, I was like Samson. The Lord had departed from me and I knew it not. But it was an eye-awakening, it was an eye-opening, heart-awakening experience. The harbingers have come. A harbinger is something that comes preparing the way for something else. George Herbert has a poem where he refers to the white hairs on his head as harbingers that are talking about the death that is coming. And back in Herbert's day, if the king was going to come and stay in someone's house and they would come and put a white chalk mark on the door. It means the king has claimed this house and he is going to come and stay here. And Herbert in his poem says, that's what these white marks are on my head. The king has claimed me for himself. And I know that it's going to mean I'm going to lose some of the things that I have enjoyed, some of the mental acuity that has helped me to enjoy writing this poetry for these years. I know that it's going to go, but just as long as they leave me this, my God and King, I don't care what else they take. Another, there are so many poems about growing old. I'm tempted just to give you a lesson, but that would be the wrong thing to do. But do allow me to mention something else from one of Shakespeare's sonnets. When he compares himself in the opening to a tree that has its leaves have turned or its leaves have fallen, and he says, that time of year thou mayest in me behold, when yellow leaves or none or few do hang upon the boughs which shake against the cold, bare ruined choirs where late the sweet birds sang. So in someone like myself, whose hair turns white, then that time of year thou mayest in me behold, when white hairs. Now in someone who has lost his hair, not to look anyone directly in the eye, then those leaves have fallen off the tree in that case. And then he goes on and compares himself as a man who is growing older to something else. There's a lot of the Bible has to say about growing old and people who are old. I think that our text before us this morning is one of the striking. To me, it's just filled with so much mystery that it must have had for Peter. I mean, what did Peter understand Jesus to be saying? I doubt that Peter understood Jesus to be saying, this is the way that you're going to die. I think he may have just said, Peter, one day you'll live to be an old man, and when you're an old man, then you'll need other people to take care of you, and sometimes they'll take you to places where you'd rather not go, but that's just the way that it's got to be. That's the way that I think I would have heard this prophecy. I think that it would have been just almost cruel for Jesus to have been so plain with him to say, one day you'll die as a martyr for me. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us how Peter died. History tells us that all of the disciples, except John, died a martyr. And the history tells us they tried to boil John to death in a vat of oil, but it didn't kill him. But all the others died, and you can read in church history how each of them died. And Peter was crucified. But Peter was crucified upside down at his own request because he did not think that he was worthy to die in the same way as the Lord Jesus had died. But after the event has happened, John, I suppose, years later, looking back on the event, was able to see that the pronouncement that Jesus made to Peter was, in fact, a prophecy concerning his death. By the way, I think that that's primarily the way that that prophecy functions. It's not so much as to give us a clear roadmap for the future as to enable us to look back on events that have transpired and see that God was in control of it all along. And so in this passage of Scripture, Jesus says to Peter, when you were young, you dressed yourself and you went whenever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you'll stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and they will lead you where you do not want to go. Now, I have three main points that I have gleaned from this passage of Scripture, although I confess that some of it is more of thoughts that have been suggested by the passage and not strictly an expositional sermon. Partly, but not entirely expositional. The first thing is the inevitability of growing old. But then I'm just going to strike a line through the word inevitability and going to have to substitute it with the high probability of growing old. Because there is no certainty that you will grow old. I quoted a poem from George Herbert just a few minutes ago as he said, the harbingers of old age have come, but before he was 40 years old, George Herbert was sleeping in the grave, his body. And so he never lived to be old, and you may not live to be old. And so I can't entitle this point "The Certainty of Growing Old." I just have to say "The High Probability of Growing Old." You may die young. Taking a lesson from C.H. Spurgeon's book, when my nephew was just a boy staying with me in West Virginia, I took him out into the graveyard that was in our city there, our little town of 1,000, and I showed him some of the gravestones, showed him some of the dates, pointed out some gravestones that indicated that this young man died when he was just exactly your age. This young girl died when she was just exactly your age. You don't have to spend much time in old graveyards to see that people die young. You can learn that lesson if you just walk in this graveyard beside our church. You may not live to be old, but if you don't die young, then you will be old. And so in view of the high probability that you will grow old, I want you to remember some things. First of all, to aid us in our memory, let's turn in our Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. There's something that you need to remember about growing old. You see, there's just a little bit of poetic irony in that statement. You remember things that are in the past, but I'm asking you to remember something that is in the future. Remember the high probability that you will grow old. And the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 tells us what we are to remember in prospect of growing old. It tells us in verse 1, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth." And then it gives a description, a very poetic description of what it means to grow old and the failings that happen to our various functions. "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth." But before we read this description of growing old, young people, just let me say, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Right now, you are sowing seeds from which you will eventually harvest a crop. Whether they're good seeds or whether they're bad seeds, right now you are sowing seeds that will yield a crop. For God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. If someone sows to the flesh, then from the flesh he'll reap a dreadful harvest. But if someone sows to the Spirit, then from the Spirit he'll reap a blessed and glorious harvest. I praise God that he saved me before I ruined myself entirely. Thank God that he saved me when I was 14 years old and called me to preach not long after that. And so that my life from age 17 on has had one central focus: to proclaim the Word of God. And what a joy it has been to me. What a salvation it has been to my soul that week after week through all of these years I've had the responsibility of preaching and explaining the Word of God. And there's no one who benefits so much from my preaching as I myself do. Oh, the fellowship, the joy, the blessing of walking with God all of these days. And there are many people in this congregation who can say, I can say amen to that, Brother Jim. The Lord called me when I was just a little child. And now I'm going to borrow from that great old Welsh preacher, Christmas Evans, with this illustration that was suggested by him. I think that there are times when the devil comes down to the earth and he's looking for someone to ruin. And, oh, there's someone in Bullitt County, a young boy that I think that I'm going to turn him into someone who will devote his life to shameless debauchery. I'm going to ruin him. And then he comes close to where that boy lives, and he hears that he is memorizing the catechism. And the devil says, well, now maybe that's not such a good boy to try my skills on. I'll go off and I'll see someone else. And so he sees a young girl, and he says, I'm going to go and I'm going to ruin that girl's life. I'm going to turn her desires in the wrong direction. I'm going to bring the wrong kind of people into her life. And before she reaches the age of 21, her life will be shameful. But he comes close to that young girl and he hears her singing some song that she has learned at church. And he says, oh, well, maybe that's not such a good person to try my skill on. Maybe I'll go for someone who is older. And he He goes to someone who is old. I'm going to make their final days, days that are dreadful and days that are painful. I will put curses in their mouth, and they will curse the day that they were born. Their life will end in such a flurry of misery. And then the devil draws close to that house and sees that that elderly person is reading from Isaiah. Even down to old age, I will carry you. When your hairs are white, I'm not a God that you have to carry around. I'll carry you around. And the devil says, oh, I'm afraid that that's a person who sowed good seed in his youth. I'm going to have to go off looking for someone else. People, while you are young, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Give yourself heart and soul and mind and strength to knowing God and pursuing after God with all of your heart. Because one day, you'll be old. Very probably, you'll be old. And how happy you will be then to reap the crop that you sowed when you were young. So remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, it says here in Ecclesiastes 12:1. Before the evil days come and the years draw near of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few. And those who look through the windows are dimmed and the doors on the street are shut. When the sound of the grinding is low and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails because man is going to his eternal home. And the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. Remember, young people, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember that you will reap one day from the seeds that you are now sowing. And so in prospect of the high probability that you will one day be old, remember your Creator. But there's someone else I want you to remember. Remember your family. I'm 61 years old, and I do not have persistent contact with anyone that I went to high school with. The ones that I went to high school with that I see when I go home to preach at homecoming. They were good friends. Thank God for them at the time. The Lord blessed me with several good Christian friends when I was in high school. But those friendships, as important as they were at the time, have not lasted through the years. Now, I do have some friends. I have a friend that I communicate with quite regularly, that we've been friends since we were in our early teenage years. But for the most part, the people who are around me and the people who can be counted on now are people from family. And I'm not just talking about physical family. Of course, physical family is true. Don't disgrace your family. Your family are the people, God blessing it, are the people that you can count on when you do grow old. But your church family, your Christian family, what a blessing it is for someone like Lavone Coakley to have been a member of this church for 70 years. And so many of you in here who have been part of this church for years and years knew her well and were able to walk with her on this narrow pilgrim way all of these years. I take it as a matter of great satisfaction that on any Sunday morning at Bullet Lick Baptist Church, if there are 150 people here, 40 of them were probably here 40 years ago. What strength that lends to our church. What's, What stability? What stick-to-itiveness? You know, my wife and I have been dawdling around for 3 years about moving down here, and there's first one thing and then another that has gotten in the way, and I'm embarrassed at the fact that we still live as far away as we do. I just tell you that we're intending to move down here. And conversations that I have had with her recently, I've said to her, I tell you one reason that we want to live close to Bullet Lick Baptist Church, because Bullet Lick is the kind of church who will take care of us when we're old. That's a fact. That's the kind of people that God brings here, the kind of people who are true to one another. And thank God for the visitors that we have here. Thank God for the people who are in the process of joining this church. I think there are about 12 people in the new members class right now. We thank God for every one of you. And others of you who are considering the possibility of making this a church home. There are ways that we want to minister to you, but when you become a member of this church, there are ways that we expect you to kick in and become part of what is going on here. And what a blessing it is to have a church family. Some of you who have gone through such deep, deep waters of sorrow and trial have been so blessed as your Christian brothers from Bullet Lick Baptist Church have come along beside you and slipped their arm around you or brought a meal to your house or sent a text that says, I'm praying for you. Remember your family, because one day you will be old and you will be glad to have a family of brothers and sisters who can stick beside you. Remember your Creator. Remember your family, because in very strong probability, one day you will get old. But now I've been speaking primarily to young people. That's spurred by Jesus saying to Peter, once you were young, and now I have a couple of words to say to older people. I count myself among you. And that word is, there are some dangers that attend getting old. But then there are also some blessings that attend growing old. But let me mention some of the dangers first. One danger, do you have your Bible still open to Ecclesiastes? Turn back to chapter 7 and verse 10. You'll see a very common danger that is forbidden to us here in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 10. A danger that confronts older people is that we will be paralyzed with nostalgia. Nostalgia is that feeling of looking back on the days that used to be and saying, oh, now those were the days. Those were good times. And I don't think there's anything wrong with looking back on those golden spring and summertime days when you were young and healthy and you had little kids in your house and all was so cheery and rosy, probably not as cheery and rosy as you remember it. There's nothing wrong with enjoying all of that, as long as it doesn't paralyze you for today. But look at what it says here in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 10. Say not, why were the former days better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask this. You know, it may be that you look around on the world, like I do, and say, what is happening? What is happening in this country of ours? I just think, what if the story of Captain America was really true, and somebody went to sleep in 1944, and he woke up in 2021, and he listened to the news, and he went to school? I just imagine the shock that your parents, your grandparents who fought in World War II would have if they went to sleep and woke up these many years later and looked at our country. And we look back on those days and see it through the lens of Dick and Jane books and Alice and Jerry books and Andy Griffith reruns and The Waltons and Little House on the Prairie, and we think, ah, oh, now those were the days. And maybe we wish, I wish I'd been born in Mayberry. Wish I'd been able to be a part of that generation. But you're not. And you have been blessed by God and assigned by God to grow up in this age with all of the things that make it so different than the world that you and I grew up in, with all of its challenges and all of its shocking revelations and all of the absolute craziness that seems to be showering down around us. Just make sure that you don't get paralyzed by looking back on the good old days. It's not wise to live your life that way. One of the dangers that old people face is to be paralyzed by nostalgia. I'm sure that that was a temptation for Peter as he grew old. Oh, the days when Jesus was here with us and we could see him work these miracles and it was such an exciting time. But don't be paralyzed by nostalgia. Don't be crippled by bitterness. There are some people who look at how their lives have turned out and they say, oh, this is not at all what I expected. I thought that if I lived in such a way, honoring my household, honoring God with my household, that all of my children by this time would have been Christian and be gathered around me at this time, but this one's not following the Lord and that one's not following the Lord, and my life has not prospered the way that it should have, and just become paralyzed with bitterness. One of the churches where I served as youth pastor had, as pastor, a man who was quite well known in his younger days, a very successful musician. There's no harm in my mentioning his name, Buell Kazee. You could find him, I'm sure, if you searched on the internet. Probably, I've not tried, there are probably banjo tunes and banjo picking done by him on the internet. He was a very, very well-known banjo picker in the folk music revival that took place in the 1960s. He was invited to some of the big festivals along with people like Joan Baez and Bob Dylan and others who were part of the revival of folk music. He was quite well known. He wrote a book that had a very wide circulation, Faith is the Victory. He taught at Lexington Baptist College, where my mom and my dad had him as a professor. And when my mom and dad got married in 1956, then Buell Kazee sang at their wedding. And as I said, years later, I was a minister of youth at the Devondale Baptist Church, which was the Stone Road Baptist Church that Buell Kazee had pastored. And there were people in the church who had known Buell Kazee, and I was very interested in his music, had been listening to it and liked it. And I asked one of them one day, did you know Brother Kazee? And he said, oh, I knew him well. In fact, probably no one knew him better than I did. And I said, well, what was he like? And this man who knew him well said, he was disappointed. His life had not turned out the way that he thought that it would. I think that Brother Kazee continued to serve the Lord all of his days, but what a burden to bear. What potential there is for bitterness when you feel like God has treated you unfairly. When you think, I should have received something better than this. That's a bad way of thinking. Self-pity is one of the most miserable ways to live, whether you're old or whether you're young. Feeling sorry for yourself. Look around you at the blessings that you have. Look around you at how many people throughout the world, if they were suddenly transported into your house and your life, how many of them would look around and pinch themselves, wondering if they were in some kind of a fairy tale that they've landed in your life with all of its problems and all of its challenges. As an old person, don't give way to bitterness. As an older person, don't be so living in the past in nostalgia that it paralyzes you from being useful now. There are things that an older person, there are opportunities that an older person has, and without spending any more time on the dangers that confront us as older people, let's turn our attention now to some of the blessings that are afforded to older people. And one thing is something that I hinted at earlier. You may now reap the crop of good seed that you sowed when you were young. Many of us can testify to that. What a blessing it is to have studied the Bible earnestly and ardently when we were young people and have all these years to mull that over and let those truths sit and soak and develop and sprout and grow in our lives. What a blessing it is to reap that crop. What a blessing it is now when we face trials to be able to look back and say, well, I've been through something like this before and God was faithful then. To be bolstered in our troubles by the recollection of God's goodness and God's faithfulness. It's a very biblical way of thinking. Again and again, we're reminded in the scriptures, God saw you through that trial, and God can see you through this trial also. And so it's a blessing as an older person to be able to look back on a lifetime experience. And as I told you some time ago in a story told by C.H. Spurgeon, there was an old saint who wrote in her Bible beside certain verses, T and P, and when asked what that T and P meant, she said, that means tried and proven. These are promises that God has given to me, and I've tried them, and I've proven them, and I've found that the Lord means what He says. And what a blessing it is as an older person to look back and say, Jesus led me all the way. As it says in that song, all the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? And as the Savior has led us faithfully throughout all of our lives, then we may also look forward with joyful anticipation to His leading us faithfully through what lies ahead. I have said before, and I think you agree with me, it's not so much death that I dread as dying. You know when you get your boarding pass, at least in the old days, when you get your boarding pass, just before you get on the plane, you don't need the boarding pass months in advance. It may trouble you, as sometimes it troubles me. What if God calls me to go through years of suffering? What if before the Lord calls me home, I have to be debilitated? What if I lose my capacity to think? What if all this? And what if yourself into a real pickle of anxiety? Know this: God is in control of all things. And I think I can get this from this text. Jesus says to Peter, one day you'll stretch out your hands and they'll dress you and take you where you do not want to go. But don't worry, I'll be in control then. I'll give you the grace that you need to go through whatever I call you to go through. I'll take care of you. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only designed thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of woe will not thee overflow. For I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. Even down to old age, all my people shall prove my sovereign, omnipotent, unchanging love. And when hoary hairs shall their temples adorn, like lambs they shall still in my bosom be born. I remember hearing a story about some young men who were the students of an old professor who was greatly respected for his scholarship, greatly respected for his learning. And one day I think that they were in the process of playing some sort of trick on him as the old man was staying in a room on campus, and they paused outside the door, and they heard him in there praying. And they stopped whatever mischief they were up to and went back and told their friends. We stopped because he was praying. And they said, what does he pray like? And with wonder and amazement, those students who had stood outside the door and heard the old man praying said, he prayed like a little child. Prayed like a little child. Because you see, you young people, you look around on those of us in whom you may see that time of year when Yellow leaves or none or few do hang upon those boughs which shake against the cold. Inside, we're still just God's little kids, God's little boys, God's little girls, like lambs still carried in the bosom of the shepherd. I want to say one more thing about the blessings of old age. Of course, what I've just been saying is that you are in the autumn of your years, and there's a blessing to autumn, the sweet sunshine, the smells, the colors. But let me say this one last thing. One of the opportunities that is afforded to us as older people is that we can invest in the lives of these young people. Young people at our church, young people who are in your family, those grandchildren that come over. It may seem at times that they're not listening to you and not paying attention to you. God can take care of that. God can answer your prayers. God can bless the word of testimony that you give. And maybe they'll think that it's just dotty old grandpa or dotty old grandma who's saying these things, but sometimes the Lord softens a heart and perks up an ear, and seeds that have lain dormant for many years will spring back to life. They're doing construction on Interstate 71, and I noticed that this summer there was just an unbelievable crop of pokeweed growing in this soil that they've disturbed. It almost looks like somebody went through there and sowed pokeweed on purpose. Notice it if you drive up that way. Just, it looks like the roadside was sowed with pokeweed. Nobody went through and sowed pokeweed. There's not that much pokeweed in Oldham County. Where did it all come from? Well, I'll tell you what happened. Through the years, birds distributed that poke seed there in that grass and along that soil, and it just stayed there for years, I guess. And then when the soil gets turned up and everything is just right, then all that seed that has just lain there for years comes to life and produces what it's supposed to produce. And sometimes that's how it is in those seeds that we old people sow in the lives of young people. It just seems to just lie there, nothing happening. And then some disturbance comes along and the soil gets turned over, and lo and behold, a little sprout of life comes poking up through that dirt. You have the opportunity as an older person to speak with wisdom and to speak with authority and to build a bridge. I don't have this poem committed to memory, but many of you will be familiar with the idea. An old man is going along, and he comes across a waterway that's difficult to cross, and so he takes the time to build a bridge. And someone asks him, "Old man, you'll never come this way again. Why are you building this bridge?" And he answered, "Well, I'm building this bridge because there is a younger man who is coming after me. And when he comes to this difficult crossing, I want to make it a little easier for him." Don't live out your days regretting what's in the past. Don't live out your days paralyzed by nostalgia. Don't live out your days with your hands folded saying there's nothing left for me to do. While there's life, there's work for you to do. And who knows but what happens in the autumn of your days is what God uses to be the most useful part of your life. And so I have a couple of words to close this sermon. One is from Robert Browning. I think he was a Christian man, I'm not sure, but he had the right perspective on old age when he wrote, "Grow old along with me. The best is yet to be. The latter, the last of life, for which the first was made. Our times are in his hand, who saith, a whole I planned. Youth shows but half. Trust God, see all, and be not afraid. That's the word from Robert Browning, but here is the word from Jesus from my text. Follow me. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we commit ourselves to you as old Christians who have known your blessing for many years. We embrace the life that you have given to us. Help us not to waste our moments, to waste these fleeting hours with feeling sorry for ourselves or wishing that things were otherwise or being paralyzed by nostalgia or giving way to laziness. Help us to take advantage of the opportunities that are ours. Help these young people to remember their Creator.